You're listening to the Tools for the Modern Man podcast. If you're looking for the tools to deal with the challenges of this ever-changing modern world, you're in the right place. Now let's get it going. Welcome to the Tools for the Modern Man podcast. I'm your host, Pete Beskus, and today I'm doing another book review. I'm going to read one of my favorite books. I love this book. I've read it a couple times. I've listened to it. This book has so many insights, and I have been wanting to share it for a while, but I wanted to do it justice. So I think I've always been procrastinating doing it. But today I'm diving into Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. I always recommended this book a couple of years back. And when I read it, the note on the front is from Adam Grant. This book blew my mind. And that's pretty much all I can say about this book. Everything it goes over is human nature. It goes over how to conduct conversations, how to conduct negotiations, how to conduct relationships. It's everything. And it's brought to you by a FBI negotiator. He was the top FBI negotiator, Chris Voss. Not from a therapist, not from a guru, not from anything else. This is a guy in the field negotiating for people's lives. And he learned the quintessential tricks and value of how to communicate to get what you want in a conversation. He was dealing with life or death situations, hostage rescue. And the lessons he learned here were basically battle tested. This is what he did in the field. This is how he, convinced people who basically have no, value for life, ruthless, looking for money only, right? And he was able to pivot conversations and make it in his favor. Now, what he does in this book, I think is beautiful, is he kind of teaches you a lesson, and then he shows how he used it in his field examples. And so many of the lessons here are so applicable in anything that you're doing. I don't care if it's talking to your child. I don't care if it's, in an argument with your wife, or if you're at work and you're at a crossroads with your boss. Like, I have effectively used a lot of these tactics and these strategies in the work environment. Whenever I'd be feeling very, very frustrated, I would just kind of refer back to Chris's notes and have engaged new conversations with these approaches with completely different outcomes. So I'm going to kind of walk through some of the big things that, he kind of walks you through the basics on how to have these conversations. First and foremost, I think he highlights don't step into any conversation with preconceived assumptions. That's the first mistake anybody makes. I think we all make it. We all lead into what are we trying to get from something. So we're already looking into any kind of engagement that we have to get the result that we want. And what that kind of does is puts blinders on us. It gives us an expectation for what we're going for, but it also doesn't leave us open to adapt and to pivot when we need to pivot. And so I think that's one of the very first things he talks about, and it's critical in any conversation that we have. Some of the things too is that sometimes we like to think we're smarter than the person we're negotiating across from or having a conversation across from. And really the power, and what he teaches here, is the power is in the conversation. The power is in the listening. So the more you can get the other person to talk, you're actually going to be gathering more and more information that you can then use to pivot how you strategize things to get ultimately what it is you're looking to get. So by understanding the person across the table from you and knowing their motivations and what they want and how they want to see things, it really offers you the opportunity to position yourself in that place to deliver it. One of the very first things he talks about is mirroring and the concept of mirroring. And this is brought up in coaching a lot, and it's brought up, I think if you've ever been in therapy, you've seen, now that you see this, you can't unsee it. Like, that your therapist is mirroring you and then labeling you. It's the second one. But the mirroring is really about just being there and reflecting back to people that which they've already said to you. So you're really reaffirming that you're listening to them, that you're taking in their information. You're creating a calm, stable presence. One of the comments that we always use is to be the lowest heartbeat in the room. And, you know, depending on how elevated and how amped up that person you're talking to is, like, say you're having an argument with your spouse, being able to slow yourself down, breathe, talk slowly. He uses the term the late night DJ voice, right? It's really to calm you down. It's really to just create a very calm mirror of what they're reflecting at you. You know, it's sitting and waiting for responses. It's not being aggressively pushing your thoughts and your agenda. It's really just being a collector of the information. Labeling is another great one that he brings up. It falls under his term of like tactical empathy. So it's about being able to put yourself in that person's shoes and then also identifying back to them what they're saying. So labeling is very much like if somebody says, you know, somebody's very agitated, you can say something like, it seems like this is very, that this is, you know, this is bothering you, or this is something that's unacceptable to you. Never use the I is kind of something he always highlights, is the minute we put ourselves in the position versus reflecting back what they're thinking, that allows a person that opportunity to now see you as an adversary versus seeing them as a collaborator. And really, it's all about being collaborators, collaborative. So you're trying to pull out of that other person what it is they really want. How is it that they're trying to communicate it? Labeling their fears. That's another great tool that he highlights, which is, you know, we're all afraid of an outcome. You know, a lot of times when we can't agree to something, it's because we're afraid of what that outcome looks like as for us. And it's the same way when we're negotiating or we're in a conversation. We want to get our point across and we're afraid to give on anything because we don't want the outcome or we don't get what we want. And so if you're malleable, if you're able to pivot, if you're able to adjust and, you know, adapt, then you're going to be in a much better position in any of these negotiations or any kind of conversations that you're in to act ultimately get what you want, because you're going to see what that person's, you know, objective is, and you're going to find ways to align with it. One amazing tool that he does, and this, you know, you can use this all the time. This is something that you can use in any situation, is that it's called an accusation audit. And an accusation audit, what essentially is auditing ahead of time, highlighting ahead of time all of the negatives. So everything that could go wrong. And you're really just laying it out bare in front of you, right? So anytime you've been a deliverer of bad news, or say you're going into work and you're delivering a terrible budget, you know, you highlight with those things first. You actually come out of the gate with a person's objections before they had a time to object themselves. Because in our minds, what happens is when we showcase to everyone else that we've already seen these, we see these issues, that it takes the wind out of their sails a lot of the times, and it puts them in a more comfortable and safe environment to be in. So when you come in with an accusation audit, it's really just pinpointing all of the observed obstacles. So you start in, you're like, yep, I see that where this could be a problem for you. I see how this could be too high a price. I see how this could be too big a time commitment. I see how this could add more work to your plate, right? I think that's a big one I see when we're in the work environment. Everyone's afraid of taking on more work. But by just pulling that cover off, you've really engaged this person across from you, and they feel like you know what they're going through. You get to empathize, and they feel that empathy. They automatically feel safe and more willing to participate in the conversation. One other aspect I really loved, and this was new for me, it's the idea that no is the start of the conversation. I think that a lot of times when we're having discussions with people, right? I know me personally, I always start with no. I rarely ever have full buy-in when I, you know, somebody brings up a topic for me. And it's interesting because my wife hates that. My wife hates that I'm the no man, the naysayer, the, you know, I'm always poking holes in things. That's just how I'm hardwired. I think it's, you know, what is one of my strengths, and it's also one of my weaknesses, is that ability to see the obstacles and plan for the obstacles. But for some people, they don't, they want you to buy in right away, and they'll get discouraged if they don't get a yes from you. But what I thought was interesting, let's start with the no, is the idea that sometimes when you get a yes too fast from somebody, you don't actually get buy-in. They're just saying yes to get you off their back. And that was really eye-opening because as I look back and I did my own little audits on conversations, I could see how I've done it and I can see how other people have done it where they're like, yeah, like that sounds good. And then later they kind of backpedal on it. So starting with the no is a great place because then you're also engaging with someone. If they're engaged enough to say no, they're engaged enough to talk. So you can start with conversations and say, okay, well, there's a no here. You're totally out. What are some of the reasons why? Really get curious, really start to dive in because you see this in sales tactics all the time where people are like, well, what are the things that are holding you back from buying this really expensive car? And someone will be like, well, it's the money. And it's like, okay. And then they'll start to ask you questions and probe, and then to make you feel like that no is doable or that thing is doable. Because I think for a lot of us, the feeling of getting your hopes up and then having them dashed is something that we avoid. And that's something else that he writes, that he highlights on here is that sometimes people will take more risks to avoid a loss than they will to get a gain. And so it's that kind of protective strategy that we're going to protect what we have versus going out on a limb to risk something for something more. So when you're dealing with people and you're negotiating with people and you're having conversations, you really have to think that their motives typically are about protecting what they have. And that new thing that you're introducing is a risk that they may or may not feel comfortable with. And oftentimes when we're having conversations, we have to overcome that we're not going to lose what we have in order to gain something new. And if we can make people feel comfortable around that, you're going to get a lot more buy-in, you're going to get a lot more yeses ultimately. And I think that's where, his thing is get everyone to a yes. And it leads, and each one of these chapters leads into another conversation. One other concept that I loved about this book was deadlines. And how deadlines are terrible. And I hate deadlines. And I think, deadlines create a ton of anxiety for everybody. That's why they're so used. They're used so often in sales strategies. They're used so often in work. It's this creative way of create it's creating a false anxiety. It's creating a false sense of emergency, of urgency around things. And we've done that so much. It doesn't matter if it's final exams in school, if it's assignments, if we're at work, we gotta have this done in a week. Well, why? The question's always like, why do we have this happen? Like, that's what I've worked really hard at doing is just touching back, pushing back a little bit on all these deadlines, because deadlines they don't really serve us in any way, shape, or form when we're trying to accomplish something big. And so with deadlines, you'll see it all the time when in the sales arena, right? Buy now, act now, because if you don't, it'll be gone forever. And we create this scarcity idea because of the deadline. Once this deadline passes, you're never going to get this deal again. Think of all of the long weekend sales, whether it's Memorial Day, Labor Day, Black Friday, New Year's blowout, right? You just know that if you're needing to go get something, you don't have to acquiesce to a deadline that somebody else creates, because deadlines typically put you in the worst position to negotiate. So, if you can eliminate a deadline, and I know that this firsthand, I've felt that anxiety and that desperation of the clock is ticking. And I've always ever made bad decisions when the clock is ticking, when I feel like I'm in a place of urgency to, oh, I gotta go do this. I gotta go. Buy this thing, I have to close on this deal. Relax. Everything is negotiable. And that's what I've learned from Chris Voss is take some of that anxiety off of yourself and put it on the other person. If they're, adherent to a deadline, that's great. Use that to your advantage, because a great line he uses in here is no deal is better than a bad deal. And that, splitting the difference where where you're kind of going, well, if it's a bad deal for you and a bad deal for me, it must be a good deal. he kind of says, well, what's the point of walking away with a brown shoe and a black shoe? What you want are two black shoes or two brown shoes. You want a pair that fits. You want something that works for you. And it's better to walk away than it is to meet in the middle a lot of times, because you're never going to be satisfied with that result. That's a hard one for me because I love to build bridges and I love to negotiate with people and I love to come to consensus. But you can do that without sacrifice. You can give on the things that don't really matter to you, but you must hold firm to the things that do matter to you. You can't compromise on the most important stuff. And that's what he's saying here is that there are ways around this. There are ways for you to get what you want. And if it also means walking away from something, then you have to accept that. And another kind of, he iterates down when people are making unrealistic expectations, when people are asking things of you that are just, out of this world ridiculous, the power of the word how. How do you expect me to do this? How do you expect, how would you like to see this result done? That's really interesting. A lot of times people will put something on us and we're trying to figure that how out. And the other person may or may not have even thought of it all the way through. So a lot of times, if you can push back on the how, just like with deadlines, you can push back on the deadline, you can push back on the how. You can create a dialogue that may change the parameters around the ask. And I've used this to great success in my career with how, right? Ask why, I always ask, what's the importance of the deadline? Like, what makes this a hard and fast deadline? And try to get clarity around it so I can get buy-in. The other one, too, is how am I going to get there? So, really about, when a person, when a leader, doesn't give you clear expectations and clear guidelines, you can take the leadership role and the leadership position by asking those questions to tease them out. Because as a person starts talking, they start to think through the process themselves and they get to see, is this achievable? Is this not achievable? And, that's how you engage and that's how you can create really powerful dialogue. So, he brings this up in his negotiations about engaging people in the how and just keeping that dialogue going. If there's one common theme throughout this entire book, it's about keeping a dialogue open and not having, being patient and not rushing things to a conclusion right away, because that's usually where we end up. It's this idea that if I rush through it quickly, it'll be over with. I'll be over this discomfort. I don't have to negotiate anymore. I don't have to have a conversation anymore. And then you walk away feeling horrible, probably feeling like you haven't gotten what you needed or wanted. And this really coaches you out of that. It's really about slowing down. It's really about approaching each conversation with a focus there, removing the distractions, taming your schizophrenic brain from, basically trying to get what it wants right away, trying to suss out the situation. Basically pushing back against yourself so that you can be in a position to get that other person to really open up, their mind to you. And that is the power of this book. There's so many other great little tidbits. I highly recommend you listen to it or read it if you're, either one. It's one that I have dog-eared. Like I said, I love it. So I highly recommend this book, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. If you have any questions, you guys want to debate this thing, or if you just want to tell me if you read it, definitely drop me a line. And I look forward to hearing some of your comments. For those of you who didn't make it to the resume workshop, for a short time, again, putting a deadline, but for a short time, no deadline, but at some point I'm going to stop offering it till I do my next workshop. I'm offering the live replay. So if you're interested in that, drop me a line at petebeskus.com and I will get that live replay link to you. And otherwise, I hope you guys have a great week and I will talk to you all next time on Tools for the Modern Man podcast. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Tools for the Modern Man podcast. If you like what you heard today, drop me a review on iTunes or share it with a friend. And if you want to learn more about working with me, you can always look me up at www.petebeskus.com. Thanks and see you all next week.